Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I've been on a pistachio kick lately, and I realized that we've not talked about food a whole lot in recent episodes. And I know that we talked about it with Dave in his end of the year of his pistachio podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But
the pistachio podcast from another world.
And now he's on to bigger and better things.
He is. Shout out to Dave's Pop Culture Podcast, which now lives on YouTube. And shout out to his buddy that has put it all together. He's going to be a future guest on the episode. But he's got a buddy of his named Neil, who does like special effects and just like editing and things like that. And he put together like a cartoon version of Dave and his buddies. It is freaking fantastic. So if you guys haven't checked that out, get on the YouTube and just search Dave's Pop Culture Podcast. And check out the little teaser for their upcoming show. It's really cool. Let's dive into the reason we're here, JD. Billy Madison. Man, what's your first memory of Billy Madison?
Geez, I think I saw Billy Madison. It was definitely a Blockbuster video rental. I was definitely 10, 11 years old whenever it first came out. I did not see it in theaters. But this is something that we rented with the neighbor below us in our apartment, and we watched the hell out of it that weekend. It was like you watched it on Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. It was just rinse, lather, rinse, and repeat.
I love that. And I'm actually Googling right now the VHS cover, and I'll have a photo of this up on our Twitter here in a couple of days with JD's face superimposed as Billy Madison here. But just that original cover art, I don't know when the last time you've seen it, JD, but it's Adam Sandler. He looks like a giant. He's sitting on the school chair, and then you can see the teacher in the background. It was just like that cover alone was enough to go, geez, I have to rent this movie. And I don't, man, imagine my son's 7 now. I can't imagine him in 3 years going through a movie store, looking at a cover and just saying, I have to see this. What was it about that time where we're just like, we based everything off the cover?
It was like grocery shopping for us. Like as an adult, you go to Jewel or Kroger or Kmart or wherever you go for your groceries, and you look at the fruit and you see which one's the most plump and you're like, this looks delicious. I'm going to go into it. But in the 90s, that was what us kids had with the movie store, the video store. We'd go there and we'd look around and you'd see whichever cover enticed you the most, and you would dive the hell into that mother effer and watch it. You would watch it for the full 3 to 4 days that you had it, and hope to goodness you did not return it late, because those late fees were astonishing.
Those were no joke. We were not getting late fees in my household. It was like, you better get that thing rewound and have it on the table ready to go. Because dad's going to grab some lottery tickets and he's going to swing by and dump that thing in the old Dropbox. Yeah, but I'm looking at the cover art. And like another thing I really remember about that time period, it was like you would look at the cover. Okay, that looks kind of cool. There'd always be like a couple sayings on the front. And then you'd flip it over and read the description. And that was the thing that would like really sell you on that movie. If I could get the font big enough, I'd try to read it, but it's so small on here, it's not going to happen. But yeah, same thing for me. I'll kind of echo what you said. Blockbuster rental, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, however however long it took me to find that thing in Blockbuster, and just a movie I fell in love with. And then once I got to college, it was like, okay, this thing's on DVD now. I'm going to pick that up. And then it was like the two pack with Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. You got that one on Blu-ray. Now, thankfully, Sandler has that Netflix connection, so you can pretty much watch any of his movies right on there. And if they're not on there now, they'll be up in a couple months. Just wait your turn. They're coming. But let's do this, man. I want to get on to YouTube here. Get on to our Back in Time podcast YouTube page. And let's watch this original trailer from 95 and see if we could jump in the DeLorean, if this was a movie we would pay to go see.
Heck yes. Let's do it.
Here we go. You have it up?
I do.
3, 2, 1, click.
Suntan lotion is good for me.
He was born into privilege.
Oh, really, fool? Really?
And stood to inherit a fortune. But for 27-year-old Billy Madison, there's just one problem.
How could I hand over my company to someone who couldn't even get through school?
That's nice.
Billy is not an idiot.
Give me one more chance. I'll prove I can take over. First grade through 12th grade, all over again. And then I get to take over Madison Hotels.
You're on.
I want you all to meet Billy.
Don't you think it's a little pathetic that just because of who your father is, you get to come to school all over again?
Yes, I do.
I heard he's retarded or something.
Good morning, class. So let's all open up our reading is fun books to page 69.
Where's Billy?
He's in school, man.
So what's it like being back in school?
I don't know. I kind of feel like an idiot sometimes. Although I am an idiot, so it kind of works out.
Universal Pictures presents
Norman Invasion of England.
1066.
That is correct.
Adam Sandler.
I am the smartest man alive!
Spanish Armada.
1466. 67.
Billy Madison.
1469. 1514. 1981.
Give me the answer.
All right, JD, start us off. What'd you think of the trailer?
All right, so I have two minds about this trailer. And the first is the excitement of my youth, in that this is a perfectly like accelerated trailer to encapsulate everything that's fantastic about this movie. The only thing that's missing is the clown.
Okay.
And Eric. We don't get to see any Eric. We hear Carl, but I don't think that they really showed Carl.
Carl! God, I forgot.
Where'd you get those
Carl.
Triscuits? I ate some Triscuits in the car. But no, it's a good trailer, but having seen this movie and having... I recently rewatched it before watching the trailer, so I gotta say it's pretty boilerplate to what the movie is.
Right.
You're not missing anything. Like, if you watch the trailer, you don't have to watch the movie, I would say. But okay, if you haven't watched the trailer and you go into the movie, so for those of you that are watching along and maybe stop watching and stop listening and just go into Billy Madison for the first time, be a virgin and enjoy what Adam Sandler has to deploy upon you.
Okay. Gotcha. Hey, scroll down a little bit. Let's see what I had to say about the trailer. See if it matches up at all.
I think we agreed that it was laugh out loud funny. I obviously didn't mention the Jackson 5 song, but I thought that it reminded me of a lot of similarities to In Our Archives, Dirty Work, and you know, that trailer that went into that film, which I think had better music than this movie has overall, which also starred Adam Sandler. Not starred, featured.
Yeah, featured.
Included.
Yeah, I thought the trailer had a lot of funny parts just because it's they're lines that you remember. And if you haven't watched this movie in a long time, just like some quotable moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I totally remember that line. But yeah, I'm really excited to see how this is going to hold up. I think if I would have watched this when I was 10 years old and getting ready to, 10 years old, would it be fourth grade? I would have loved to have watched this movie. Perfect age for it. Because I think that's, you know, for the most part, a lot of the kids, you know, at the beginning part of the movie are right around that same age range.
And starting with the fart.
I mean, that's, you want to start a good trailer, just fart. Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's dive into some of the numbers here and see how the movie did at the box office. So this movie was released on February 10th, 1995, was distributed by Universal Pictures, and has a 89-minute runtime. So short and sweet, rated PG-13, and it was released to 1,887 theaters on February 10th, opened at $6.6 million, the number one movie in America that week. And then on President's Day weekend, which was February 17th, it dropped to number four, but brought in another $5.5 million, making that 10-day total $13.7 million on their $10 million budget. JD, what do you think about the first 10 days?
I feel like they weren't necessarily concerned with money as much as Adam Sandler at this time was concerned with entertaining audiences.
Sure.
So the fact that they made X amount of dollars, I think, is probably overshadowed by how many tickets they sold. And I would not be remiss to say that I feel like the schoolyard effect is in play.
Shockingly, it's not.
Ooh, so, shot to the heart, but it's too late.
Little Andy Bernard. Yeah, one more week inside the top 10, and then it would drop out. Only 6 weeks in theater, bringing in a total domestic gross of $25,588,734. And a measly 900 grand internationally. So the world box office total, $26,488,734. So they, you know, 2.5 times their budget, they did pretty well. I'm imagining, you know, that's enough to green light his next project, but kind of feels like a little bit of a letdown. What do you think?
From a budget and money perspective, obviously they probably would have liked more.
Sure. Yeah, you can always get more. Or as to quote his line in The Wedding Singer, I have some money, I'd like to get more. And that's where you come in. Everybody wants more money. Yeah, 100%. Maybe there's some other factors going against them. Let's take a look at what else was out in theaters that week. So first week that it was out, number one, Billy Madison. We talked about that. Number two, The Quick and the Dead. Not really a big release. Number three, Disclosure. Number four, Legends of the Fall. Number five, Boys on the Side. Number six, Miami Rhapsody. If I can even say that word. Number seven, Houseguest. Number eight, Dumb and Dumber, which was in week nine. Number nine, Nobody's Fool. And number 10, In the Mouth of Madness. Man, not a lot of competition either. So this is a little bit of a head scratcher here.
Yeah, but Dumb and Dumber was a very vivacious picture. And okay. Houseguest also was quite enjoyable. And that will definitely be a future episode.
How about this? I went a couple weeks down the road to see what would have happened. And if you remember on this list, Dumb and Dumber was 8 or 9. 3 weeks later, it was number one at the box office and had made $11 million that weekend. So Dumb and Dumber is the movie that had the legs on it and just kept creeping back in. Even Forrest Gump broke back into the top 10 and passed up Billy Madison, and they were in week 35. So, yikes.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
jinx. Hey, when's the last time you saw a movie drop out of the top 10 and then go, you know, halfway back up the list?
Gee, I could not speak to a definitive movie that has done that.
That's impressive. Gosh darn it. All right, well, let's get into some of the critic reviews. As usual, we'll get on to Rotten Tomatoes and check out what the critics and the audience had to say about this picture. JD, how do you think the critics received Billy Madison?
I want to start by saying that I feel the critics probably did not come out with halos on their heads to this movie, that they were probably very critical over Adam Sandler. They were probably very critical towards the story. They were probably lorded themselves above the direction of the movie. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of memorable quotes for sure, but as a critic, there's not 10-year-old critics. Right. There should be 10-year-old critics.
There are now. They're on YouTube.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. They all have their own accounts. Many more followers than we do.
It's interesting.
Disappointing.
Hate. Nope. Not going to ask a 10-year-old to hit me up, so never mind. Nope.
Not going in our DMs. Not going there.
But I feel like there
candy?
Is...
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I feel like there's an innocence to this movie, and I think that the concept and the situation of what it is quite divine. The character development might be a little subpar, and the story itself might be very short-sighted.
Right.
And the comedy is very 10 years old again. I have a number in my head, and I'm going to spit it out, and I'm going to say 47.
Ooh, you are so close. The tomato meter came in at 40% from the critics, 79% from the audience. So, yeah, you're pretty much right on there. Let's take a look at some of the top critics here, see what they had to say. Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune gave the film 1 out of 4 stars and said the latest entry into the American cinema's investigation of dumb and dumber heroes. What do you think about the comments from Gene Siskel?
Well, I'm curious to who he's referring to as heroes in this film, because essentially Billy Madison is the lone protagonist. So I feel like a little short-sighted by his comparison to Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Probably the popular thing to spew out at that point since it was doing so well. Let's listen to another Chicago Tribune reviewer. John Patrakis gave the film 0.5 out of 4 stars. Billy Madison is a textbook example of a half-decent idea that never got developed beyond the lying around drinking beer and making jokes with your buddy stage. I mean, that is kind of what the movie's about, but it's also, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
From an adult standpoint, looking down at somebody who's younger than us, yeah, I can think of it, you know, I can make comparisons to people in my real personal life that sort of exemplify who and what Billy Madison represents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is telling to the fact of more so of, you know, the American dream, but in reverse, to say, you know, Mr. Madison achieved all that he needed to, so Billy could achieve nothing that he ever wanted to.
Okay.
So I think there's a little bit more subtext to that, other than them just sitting around drinking. I mean, this okay. isn't a Kevin yeah. Smith film.
Well played. Janet Maslin of the New York Times gave the only positive review from top critics, saying, if you've ever had a yen to relive the third grade, this must be the next best thing. I've never heard anybody say, have you ever had a yen? But what do you think?
I get what she's saying, and I appreciate what's at the crux of her opinion. And for what it's worth, have you not had sleepless nights where you just randomly remember memories from third grade when you're just like, oh my gosh, that one time Tony tripped on his binder and then Sam peed his pants, and you're just like, why am I remembering things from when I was 8 years old?
Yeah, that's definitely happened before. But yeah, again, not real positive from the critics here, but let's talk about us, man. That's why we're here, to break this thing down. What are you most excited about when we dive into the full review here in a couple days?
Definitely the quotes. There are so many quotes. Veronica Vaughn, so fine.
Want to touch the hiney. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Doyle, yeah. I've got a feeling your whole family is going down. There are so many quotes and one-liners from this film that I still use in my personal and professional life.
I agree.
Even talking to Anna about, and we watched this film the other night, and she's like, a coworker was like, oh, what was it? It was when the kid was trying to talk. Who's trying to read, and Billy's today, Junior.
Oh, man.
And so a coworker of hers said that, and she started laughing, and she goes, oh, Billy Madison. And the guy was like, what do you mean, Billy Madison? So this was a guy in his 30s that was quoting Billy Madison without even knowing he was quoting Billy Madison.
Can I say, one of my least favorite memories of middle school was me being the biggest jerk to one of my good buddies. We were in the locker room, so there was like a long hallway in middle school, and you'd walk out to the basketball court, and we were all in there, and he was trying to give this speech to fire everybody up. He's kind of a bench player or whatever. For sure, don't talk when you don't play. But he was like, guys, he's just going along. I'm like, well, you shut the fuck up. And I just went off on him. And we were never friends again after that one. Very tough to lose a good buddy because of a Billy Madison quote, but I sure did. And I'm still laughing about it. I shouldn't be laughing.
Well, maybe this is the time that you reach out to him and apologize before he takes a sniper rifle, puts a bullet in your butt.
You know, I actually did try to reconnect a few years ago, went out to dinner with him, with another one of my friends. He went to the bathroom. Came back out, heard my buddy Justin doing the impression, and dropped his money on the table and said, have a good night. So he thought it would be, so he kind of ruined that for me. Wasn't even me that time.
I was going to say, he's got bigger balls than you, apparently. That's a baller move.
Yep. Fellas, have a good one. I'm like, and friendship over. Thank you, Justin. You're an asshole.
Pizza Parlor Massacre, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, star of Pizza Parlor Massacre. Good man. Wasn't good that day, though. So as far as what I'm looking forward to, definitely the quotes. But as always, I'm always excited to talk a little Chris Farley. I'm ready to dive into his role here as the bus driver and some very quotable moments from the late, great Chris Farley. So we will get into that. We will be back next week with all new episodes. We will have our Shoot in the Manure. We got a lot to talk about, JD. We've got the news of Rick Moranis returning to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise officially. We've got first shots from the set of the Mighty Ducks reboot. We've got more Ghostbuster news. We've got a teaser trailer from Stranger Things Season 4. I feel like we got a lot of stuff to shoot the breeze about.
Yeah, that and A Quiet Place 2 coming out. And
yep.
You wanted the movie that you're very excited about. And
The Way Back, Ben Affleck, basketball movie. Hell yeah.
And it's my birthday.
Your birthday, yep. You'll be gearing up for your trip to Disney. So, yeah, tune in for the first episode of March. We're going to have a fun one and a lot to discuss. And then we'll be breaking down some trailers and getting into our plans for March and seeing what's coming down the pipeline for the show. As always, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, IGTV, YouTube. We've got t-shirts. Let us know if you are interested in the t-shirt. DM me on Twitter or Instagram. I will get you the deets. You can follow me at KAutry29, JD at UnjustJustin. But for now, we are out of time. Time to get back into the DeLorean. Punch in a couple days from now and return back and talk a little Billy Madison. JD, I think bad things are going to happen for your whole family.